City beat Southampton 2-1. There were also wins for Bournemouth, Brighton, Sheffield United, Newcastle and Chelsea. While Arsenal drew 1-1 with Wolves today, Crystal Palace host Leicester, while Everton face Spurs. That's the latest. I'm Will Rowe.
The Gaydio Weekend with Do It London.
Together we can get to zero new infections.
Visit doitlondon.org.
Hello, you're listening to Gaydio, the beat of Gay UK. We've got a very special broadcast for you today, all the way from Reform Radio as we launch our brand new Open Forum series. You may be thinking, what on earth is that, Dean McCulloch? I'm going to tell you all about that very soon. It's been funded by Audio Content Fund, and over the next couple of months, we're going to be bringing you a series of broadcasts covering lots of different themes that matter to you. You may want to get involved at Gaydio. But first, before we go any further, I want to introduce you to my very special studio audience. For the next hour, we're going to be tackling the all-important subject of identity. What does identity mean to you? Is identity something that you can change? Is it something that's been discriminated against over the years? You know, we've got a real mix of people in our audience today from all different backgrounds. So we're going to be tackling this subject from a real personal point of view. Each of these people are going to share their stories, share their opinions, and we're going to get the ball rolling and find out, you know, what identity means to you. But before we do that, we're going to hear now from a very special artist. We are very lucky here today at Gaydio to bring you a new artist. She's 26 years old. She's a singer-songwriter from Manchester, so she's not got far to go home. And she's a keen storyteller. She uses her mellow acoustic sounds to portray themes such as love and life. You can catch her on Instagram at Vaughn May. She's going to perform a track for us now called DNA. Please give her a big Reform Radio and Gaydio welcome to Bolatito Vaughn May.
Hi, thank you. I'm going to be doing a song for you today called DNA. My DNA, my genetic code, evolved from ancestors way back, like a secret code, a story untold, an ancient script they've left for me to crack. Cells so strong they'll determine how my children's children think. Deep ingrained within them, we will always share that link. Lost in the double helix, the building blocks of me, frantically searching to connect A, T, G and C. Swimming through enzymes to try to find a cure to these anxieties that I constantly endure. One faulty gene isn't always what it seems. It doesn't have to stop you from following your dreams. Things might not be how you expect them to be. Like bad things don't have to happen in patterns of three. Believe in yourself, the truth will set you free. DNA, DNA, DNA. Sometimes it's hard to see through the murky waters. It can feel like you are stuck between four borders. But my mind is progressive when these thoughts are recessive, and I'm no longer obsessive when I'm being expressive, and I won't be depressive, which will be impressive. And maybe my genetics are the reason I'm poetic, sometimes apathetic, the reason why my words float like kinetic energy. My lifestyle is hectic, a bit of a skeptic, takes a while to get to know the real me. I'm poetic, sometimes apathetic, my words flow like energy. My lifestyle is hectic, a bit of a skeptic, takes a while to get to know the real me. One faulty gene isn't always what it seems. It doesn't have to stop you from following your dreams. things might not be how you perceive them to be. That bad things don't have to happen in patterns of three. Believe in yourself and the truth will set you free. DNA, DNA, DNA. And as the world revolves, we as humans evolve. It's a fine example of a problem solved and how I'm like no other. Not my mother, father, sister, a brother. Built to last, built to fight, built to see through the cold dark night. Built to love, built to care, built to understand, built to share. Built to last, built to fight, built to see through the cold dark night. Built to love, built to care, built to understand, built to share. One faulty gene isn't always what it seems. It doesn't have to stop you from following your dreams. Things might not be how you perceive them to be. That bad things don't have to happen in patterns of three. Believe in yourself, the truth will set you free. DNA, 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 DNA.
Tito Von May here on Gaydio. What a way to kick off our open forum workshop broadcast today. Bolatito, first of all, can I start off by asking you, where does this name come from? We talk about names matching our identities and, you know, being given our names. Where does this name come from?
So my name's Nigerian. I've Googled it. It means how joy sanctifies me. I still don't really know what that means, but yeah, something.
And do you put your heritage and your background and sort of, you know, your journey through identity into your music?
Not as much as I probably could, to be honest. But it's something that I'd love to do. Just research as much about my background, and yeah, I think it would give me a really unique spin.
There's lots of themes in the song that you've just performed for us. Where do you get your inspiration from?
My inspiration is usually just like people that are around me or my own personal experiences. I find it a lot easier to write about things if it's something that I've experienced before or seen firsthand.
Have you experienced problems, you know, in the past growing up with your identity, or do you know anybody that struggled with their identity?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I'm a black female, and it's only really recently that you see black people on TV playing instruments. When I was growing up, there wasn't really anyone that was sort of around my age group that were doing that. So I had a lot of people kind of be like, oh, well, why do you play guitar? And it's like, well, I like playing guitar. But now it's lovely to see more and more black musicians like be on our screens.
Yeah, it's so important. It's so important to get the diversity and to get that, you know, that heritage, you know, coming right through them from the music scene. Yeah. Ladies and gents, let's give it up one more time from Bolatito. Just as much as we did today, you can follow her on Instagram at Von May. You're going to stick around and get involved with our conversations, aren't you?
Yes,
come and
definitely.
Come and join the crew. So let's throw this right out there then. You know, just listening to the song that we've just heard, there were so many different themes in there about believing in yourself and how, you know, your family background and a slight difference in your DNA can sometimes change things for you. I want to raise your hand, anybody who feels like, you know, the identity that you're born with, can it be changed? Can you change your identity?
I grew up in Manchester, because half my family was of Welsh and English descent and the other half was Irish. But it didn't really, like, from in terms of the culture of both sides, it didn't really affect my life. But I think my identity can really be changed based on, like, where you grew up, because I grew up in Manchester. And that's pretty much where my identity now is based off of, because things I picked up from the area and being around it and stuff like that.
It's very interesting, that, isn't it? You take on sometimes, you know, when you grow up in certain estates in certain parts of the country, you take on that, and that becomes a part of your identity. Does anybody over here, have you ever felt that, you know, your circumstantial identity can play a big part in your future?
Hi, my name is Emma. I grew up on a council estate, so going to primary school and high school and that, I was always confused because you feel really, I don't know, like left out because people are from like them big houses and the big estates. And when people say, oh, you come from that avenue, there's like this look on their face that kind of like drains because you know there's a bit of a reputation to it. But I've learned to grow up with it and get used to it. But at that time, when you think about it, I always thought, what's my future going to be like with work, friends or anything, just because I am from this area, just because it's a council estate. And now it's like my identity because I've lived there for 20 years. And it just feels like sometimes I can get judged for that for no reason at all. Yeah.
Do you find that when you're going for things like jobs or if you're applying for college, university, are you reluctant to tell people where you're from?
Yeah, most definitely. Because like sometimes, even though I've got better with it now, there's always that kind of reputation because there has been things like murders and stuff like that down where I live. But like, I feel like I kind of like, I want to like give it my own, like, this is me, this is where I live. It doesn't matter where I come from. It's me that matters, not the council estate.
Fair enough. Does anybody else have anything to add to that? Maybe you were born in a different part of the world, a different part of the country. Does that sort of make up who you are today?
Hi, my name's Lena and I was born in Somalia. So I'm ethnically Somali. And when people see me, they think of the situations or the conditions in Somalia that they see on the news. So some labels that are attributed to me are pirate or Muslim or black or uneducated.
How does that make you feel?
Sometimes it's quite annoying. Initially, I didn't think too much about it, but once I started going on social media more or looking at identities on Twitter, I started thinking about my own identities. So interacting with people, I already think that they have a perception on me.
Do you wish that you could change that? Do you wish that you could change your identity or how people view you?
I like my identity. I'm quite proud to be Somali. I like being Somali. But I wish that the news wouldn't talk so much about the bad situations that are happening there. Because there's more good than bad.
Folks in the room, show of hands, who actually watches the news? Who actually watches the news? And keep your hand up if you believe what's... And by the way, for the purpose of the radio, most of the people have their hands up, bar about two people, okay? Put your hand up if... Keep your hand up in the air if you believe what you see on the news. Two people have their hands up now. Everybody else has put their hands down. That's interesting that our perceptions of what we see in other people comes through a news source. But whether we believe that or not is... is to be questioned. We'll get on to that later, how you get your opinions on people. Does anybody else find then that their circumstances and the position that they find themselves in when they were born, does anybody here in the room, have you ever felt like you wish you could just take the identity that you have and just chuck it out the window, that it wasn't part of you and that you could change that? Anybody feel that way and why?
I'm Jack, and the link into that question, it's mostly connected in a way to my autism. And sometimes I always got picked on because of it. Like, I've been called every derogatory name in the dictionary. I've been called the R word many times. And again, it hurt. And to be honest, over the years, you just kind of get used to it and you just don't care. But most of the time, I just felt like, why me? Why did I have to be born with this? And be taken advantage of, like, worst case scenario was when one of my exes took advantage of the fact that I pick up things very, very, very slowly. And she would oftentimes make up the death of a friend just to get out of going on a date or something like that.
That's not okay. But did you then become, accustomed to that and think that was happening all the time? It must have been quite difficult.
honestly, at that point, my personality changed drastically. I originally went from picking things up very slowly to not trusting anybody at all. Like, my anxiety levels were, like, through the roof.
And do you wish that you could take that part of your identity and eradicate it from who you are as a person?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the anxiety part is horrible to face. It's worse than the autism in my eyes. Even though I got picked on because of my autism, it's nowhere near as bad as not trusting a single person.
We've covered disability, we've covered religion and ethnic background, we've covered circumstantial identity. Can anybody else throw something else into the equation, something that maybe matters to you that we've not quite touched upon yet when it comes to your identity?
Hi, my name is Gemma. Most people don't really know this, but I am a lesbian. Most people assume that all lesbians wear the rainbow and pretty much promote themselves all the time, when in reality, you get the people who are introverts like me who don't really wear the rainbow, who usually just mind their own business and take their time with things, just watching the days go by. I mean, nowadays, you get people who get quite offended and, like, people who are, you know, not really into the same sex, they kind of just assume that we're all like that. When in reality, I mean, I don't get offended that easily. So,
Gemma, when did you realize that you were lesbian?
I actually realized this when I was in high school, the like very end of high school, when I was in year 10. I was having a crush on a friend of mine. We've been around each other for a few years at that point, and it just kind of clicked. At first, my mum just assumed it was a phase, you know, like what your parents would usually do. But then I just started to realize it. It's kind of weird to say.
Mm. Are you proud of your identity? And you know, because you mentioned that you don't promote the fact that you're lesbian. Does that mean that you're not proud of it, or is it just not a huge part of your identity?
I mean, sorry to offend anyone who's listened to this, but I don't promote it simply because I'd rather focus on other things in life, like getting a job, getting qualifications, or just simply having a roof over your head. Like, I mean, I would love to be in a relationship, don't get me wrong. It's just, I just prefer to do what I love most first.
If there was anybody listening today who is your age, how old are you?
I'm 21, by the way.
So if anybody is 21 and they're listening today and they're scared, they're an introvert like you, you're proud to be an introvert, you've mentioned mm-hmm. that to us. What would you say to them if they're thinking of coming out today?
If you want to come out today, just shout it out and into the world. Like, you know that, like, when you rage in a text, it's pretty much like that. Like, just blurt it out. Like, say what you mean. Like, you don't have to be scared. Like, I was scared when I was year 10 because, well, I didn't really know much about what being gay was like until I realized it. It's simple as that. Like, to most people, yeah, it's not simple because anxiety and things like that. But, I mean, if you really want to say it, just go and do it.
I think that deserves a round of applause, don't you?
Thank you.
Has anybody here in the room ever, either maybe their friend has sat them down and said, I've got something to talk to you about, you're like, oh my god, they're going to tell me they're gay? Has anybody ever found themselves in that situation? Or maybe at one point in your life you thought that your identity might have been LGBT and then you realized that actually no, you're not part of the LGBT community. Has anybody ever faced situations like that? Yes, go on ahead.
This is kind of a funny one. When I found out my friend was gay, and it was like in the middle of the night, he was at a party with his uni mates and he randomly texted us, like, in the Facebook group chat in the middle of the night, just basically blurting out random stuff, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? And he then says he's gay and he was proud of it. And I'm like, what? And it was weird because usually me and some of my friends would see him with a girlfriend, and that he never told us this because we were his mates and I thought he would have trusted us. And at first I thought one of his uni friends took his phone and just messed around with it and just was pranking him. But then he said the nickname that oftentimes in my friendship group they would always refer to me as. And at that point I knew, yeah, he was not lying.
How did that make you feel? Were you proud of him? Were you a bit scared? Oh, I was taken aback?
Yeah, I was still proud of him.
Yeah.
I wasn't negative towards it.
Yeah.
But then when I woke up in the morning and just looked through that message board, I was laughing hysterically over the fact that just happened, that he drunk texted us coming out of the closet to us. And I know this sounds a bit insulting here, but usually when there's people who come out of the closet, usually I can't take it seriously because it always makes me remember of that one incident.
Yeah. We all know somebody that's came out, and whether it's done in a drunken way or not, you'll always remember it, won't you? Because it's that moment where you think, gosh, everything changed forever. Do we find then, because we were talking before about how when someone tells you, well, even when they don't tell you, you judge somebody based on what you can see. Can you ever remember a time where you were in a changing room, you were on an airplane, you were in a restaurant, and you absolutely 100% knew that person in front of you was either lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, or otherwise identifiable? Can you ever remember a time when that happened, and did you judge them? Did you have an opinion on them?
My name is Esther, and as I know you are aware, I am registered partially sighted. So as people like ourselves, everybody judges people, whether you want to accept that or not, and people judge me. And when I've told people I'm registered partially sighted, the comments I've had is, where's your guide dog? Where's your white stick? And I'm like, well, that's taken my independence away. Never mind my identity. Mm. It's also taken away the fact that, so I can't do what I want. I can't do what I think is correct for me to do at my situation at the right time. Mm. Bearing in mind, I'm also a proud of modern Orthodox Jewish girl living in the community. So I'm crossing bridges every day, especially when it comes into the employment world. And like I said, people judge you. The minute you show them your CV, their eyebrows are raised and you're like, am I not a normal human being?
Do you find, because you are partially sighted and you are a member of the Jewish community, do you find yourself being more open to other people with different identities?
Oh, definitely. I've come to accept and respect people much more because I'm more in the open world rather than just being in my own little bubble.
Thank you to those who have spoke so far. It's great to hear. It's great to hear all your different stories, especially here at Gaydio. You know, a lot of our listeners will definitely be able to identify and engage with what you're saying. So thank you so much. Okay, we're going to hear from an incredible chap now called Curtis. He's going to introduce yourself to him. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about how people and their influences can change your identity, whether it's social media, whether it's the news or it's politics, the outside world can change what's happening on the inside. But first, let's find out from Flo. Hello, Flo.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm all good, mate.
So introduce yourself to us and all of our listeners at Gaydio and tell us what you're going to be doing today.
Yep, so my name's Curtis, also known as Flo, or Kilo Curtis. Got so many names.
Kilo Curtis, where does Kilo come from?
It's Curtis of a K, to be fair.
Cool. So you're from Manchester?
Yeah, I'm from Manchester. I'm 28. And I'm just here to tell you a bit of a story about myself, a bit of a journey, really.
Take it away.
From the age of 7, when I was a little child, my dad went prison and they won't let him out. For 7 years of my tears I was shedding out. No daddy no more, me and mum now. My mum kept strong, she didn't need a man. If you couldn't do it, she would say, I can. A quarter million of a grand sight, I was too young, I didn't understand. But now I do, we try to get the money again, and I'm in the same boat, sat here worrying the real world and finally discovering. But back to the story that's full of sin. The letters got sent through the post. Visits, 1 month, you're at the most. I hate it, same by when I had to go. I hated police from 8 years old. Slack inside, the anger would grow. Burning up with flames until you saw smoke. My feelings went strange, I just seemed to cope. I turned on my flames to frost, the ice cold. In my heart, I had no feelings, frozen cold, but my heart still bleeding. Confusion from this stain, I still feel it. So I started stepping out my windows in the evening, slowly turning nocturnal. Call this the aftermath journal. I've been cursed deep down internal. I pushed my limits so they came external. Never once did I ever see my mom cry. I had to be a man quickly, I realized. Know myself, there's no need to tell lies to myself, so I grew a third eye. When I hit 11, I was off the rails. I lived the nightmare, don't believe in fairy tales. Precious letters soon turned into junk mail. I was 9 years old, I got calls from the jail. My mind's all gone, my head's all messed up. My mom met a man, so I said good luck. Thumbs up, there weren't no trust. So why the hell would I show on love? Like, it's like I was going one way. A strip church to worship on a Saturday, not a Sunday. What you know about Seventh Day? Rebelling each and every other day. That got released, I think I was 13. I got told when it's sunset to get in. Rules of religion, renegade, never listen. They said I wouldn't never work when I was christened. Got kicked out, sent to my dad's. Rush home to Old Trafford at my grand's. Soon 15 and I feel like a man. Soon 15 I'm living on the couch. To make it worse with things in my head. My grand's got cancer, that's more of distress. I swear I'm cursed, man, I've never been blessed, man. It's all day, every day, constant stress. And I find out that I've got a little brother. Unborn now, I'm living with the mother. In Wally Range, but they're not with each other. And there's a... another coming from another mother out the country in Africa. I've got siblings everywhere adding up. My mum's married now, I got a little sister. It feels like the artist is rushing my picture. Madness, I got kicked out again. Moved down with insurance where there's money to be made. I was doing crazy things, I was going insane. Now I'm 17, now I'm kind of deep in the game. I knew a lot of people from all over. Enemies are hawking over my shoulder. Lewis died, tears come straight from my eyes. I seek from my heart, rest in paradise. And I went prison, mine went crazy. Christmas, New Year's, yeah, I'm my 18th. Then my grandma died of the cancer, suffering pain. The prayers that I ranted, fresh out of prison, no sex for ages. Made a bit of dough from little crop raises. Made a female, then I made them a lady. 3 months since she's pregnant with my baby, wow. And I just got my own house. She lived in Nottingham, so I moved down. In a place where my cousin, it was rough. No heating in the winter, windows bust. As time goes on, my son's finally born. A beautiful boy now, he's 7 months. Ready for the food, now I'm ready for the crunch. Now I'm back in Manchester where I begun. Now I'm sat here, living that stage. CRB checks couldn't get paid, so I had to make money in the old ways. Like I was 17 in 08. Some say that a lot of things change, but I say that things stay the same. Some say that a lot of things change, but I say you're the only one that can make that change. Thank you.
A big, big thank you to Kilo Curtis, also known as Flo. If you want to catch him on Instagram, you can, of course, do that. Kilo Curtis Insta. So many themes coming up in that rap. I've heard you do that rap before on Reform Radio. And I love hearing it every single time because it's just got so much passion behind it. It's got so much meaning behind it. And that is your story, isn't it?
Takes your battery, it takes your, it's like I'm on low battery now, it takes it out of you.
Oh, really? Yeah. Want to be lying down a cup of tea? Yeah. But seriously though, you know, they are your stories. That is what happened to you. And you've worked with Reform Radio and you've been working with young people and actually been able to achieve what it is that you want to do. Folks in the room then, there are young people going through school now. You know, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. The thought of even going back to school right now makes my toes curl. But there are young people out there who are going through school, you know, and becoming a lot more expressive, and they might be going through their own gender identity crises. Mental health can be a massive, massive thing. What advice would you give to young people growing up now? Or what advice do you wish that you had taken on board when you were growing up in terms of your identity?
Hi, my name is Corey. For me, a bit of advice that I give to people in school, I think I wish I would have learned a bit earlier that although we all have an identity, I feel like you judge people based on the energy that they give off. So as long as your energy is in check, we all are kind of different and we might be different, but you can't ignore a positive energy, if that makes sense. And I wish I learned that a lot earlier, growing up with like not the best clothes and that sort of thing. I felt like I needed to adapt my identity to kind of fit in. Now I wish I knew that just be yourself and be a good energy and it doesn't matter what, realistically.
What can affect you from being your true self?
In what sense, sorry?
So what are the things that can hold you back from living in your true identity?
That's a hard one, really. What can hold you back? I suppose money can change. Obviously, being poor, growing up in that background can kind of stop you from being... It's weird because I feel like it's an idea of what you think your identity should be, but your identity is who you are. So whether you've got money or not, that is you. Like, do you get what I mean? It shouldn't really change whether you have it or not, but it can be an obstacle for some people.
Anybody else want to add to that?
So my name's Bolotito. I wanted to touch on that, and I think social media, I think somebody mentioned it a little bit before, but I think that is greatly changing people's identities, because when I was growing up, it wasn't really a big thing. I sort of knew what my friend was doing. I knew what my social circle was doing, but I couldn't compare that to other people's social circles. But these days, you can just go online and see everybody supposedly doing all these things that you're not doing, and think, oh, well, why aren't I doing that? And then all of a sudden, you're in a crisis, and it's, I should be there. Like, that person's the same age as me. Why aren't I there yet? And I feel sorry for children that are sort of growing up in that age, because it must just put you through such a conflict if you're not where you want to be, but you've seen other people be there.
Has anybody else fallen victim to that social media persona? Anybody else that can identify with that? Yeah, pass the mic along there.
Hi, my name's Charlotte. And yeah, I think social media has like impacted me like greatly, just because growing up, like seeing how people are doing amazing, and because you're not doing the same things, like you said, like it's really difficult, because you've not grown up in the circumstances where you actually can do that. And like body image as well, like that makes you like try and watch what you eat when you see like people posting all these really cool, like the influencers that like try and like look really good, and like Photoshop makes you like feel insecure about yourself and how like you look. So I think that's really like sad that it can be like that.
I suppose that's something then that can stop you from living in your true identity, because we're all working really, really hard to try and put our best face forward on things like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, that we actually forget, how do I feel on the inside?
Yeah, hi, my name is Corey. I was going to go back to what you just asked then. I think social media kind of impacted my identity more positively as opposed to negatively. I feel like, because you kind of have a barrier between you and a person, you kind of have that second to think about how things are going to be portrayed before you say them, which for me, being an artist and being a person that's quite opinionated, I feel like social media gave me that platform to be able to just get my point across properly without all these, like I say, growing up poor and all of this thing, that's not really taken into consideration when they're only looking at what they can see, if that makes sense. Mm. So I feel like it gave me a level-headed playing field, if not above some of these rich people or whatever, just because I was online, if that makes sense. I feel like it was, yeah.
What can be done then, folks? Let's throw this out into an opinion point of view. I want everyone to think now. Raise your hand if you think you know what can be done to either limit what our young people are putting out on social media, or what things could be done to help anybody who's in an identity crisis on social media. Are there things that can be done from a policing background, from a social media platform? Is there anything that we can, in this room, decide this would help people and their identity?
I think what would help people with their identity is, first of all, if schools could have a filter on the internet, if people could think for themselves more than being out there all the time on the social media platforms. And one more thing, Dean, if anyone out there offers you or gives you help, you say thank you and you take it. A lot of children are scared to embrace their issues, their problem, and realise that there's no solutions to these problems, and therefore they're carrying on the problem. Mm-hmm. They're making that big hole in the sand deeper and bigger, you know, as if it's going to be a sandpit filled a bucket in the summer. But it's not going to be like that. The problems are just going to rise and build up. It's going to get colder. There's more social media pressures. There's more financial trouble. And therefore, if someone offers you help, Dean, my advice to anyone listening today is to accept and take the help and say thank you.
And yeah, let's go to the point here from the lady in the room here.
Hi, my name's Lena. In terms of restricting and guidelines and policing, I like the internet not being policed. I like it being this platform, this virtual reality where people can be their true authentic selves without feeling pressure of being judged by physical society. But I also think that social media is important for representation in terms of identity, finding like a clique of people online that represent you, whether your identity is being black or being white or being Indian or being anything, who a person who's likes to game or likes coding or likes different hobbies. I think representation is important online.
So does anybody else feel that way? Has anybody else ever came into that situation?
I was just going to touch up on about young people.
Going ahead, yeah.
So what I personally think is, I think young people need more places to go. I think there needs to be more promotion, because there is social media, it needs to be promoted more, and there needs to be like more safe places. So like, you do have youth centres, but I mean like sort of like young people events, places where they can actually go and sort of see each other instead of just always watching each other all the time. Because I think it's quite easy nowadays to sort of promote things because everyone's always watching it. So there's no excuse for that. Mm-hmm. So I think there needs to be more sort of like maybe like I don't know what sort of call like a club night, but like young people sort of like party night, networking night.
Yeah.
You know, a place like Reform, basically.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. There's the plug. Thanks for that. I was waiting for that. In terms of what you put out on social media, has anybody ever in this room lied on social media with regards to their identity? Maybe you've been on a dating website, you've said that you were a little bit younger than you maybe wanted to be, or you were a little bit older. I can see lots of people shaking their heads. Anybody done that? We won't judge. Put your hand up and just share that story.
So the reason what happened was is that I am, as I've mentioned, Jewish, so I belong to J-Swipe.
And what's J-Swipe?
J-Swipe is like a Jewish Tinder.
Sounds fun. J-Swipe. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So there's J-Crush, there's J-Wed, there's J-Date, there's all of them, just with the big J in the front.
And you've lied on these then, have you?
Kind of, and people lie on there. Like, I'll just say, like, not orthodox, or you know, smoking occasionally, just because you want to try and build a picture out there.
Okay.
And you want people to have a better image of me and a fake image, so you'll just tick all the red boxes, even though you know you're not supposed to really tick them.
You're not supposed to smoke, folks. That's also bad. Don't tell people. Anybody, how do you feel about that? How do we feel that our friend Esther here in this circle has lied on social media to better her image? How do we feel?
Well, first of all, I kind of understand where you're getting from with the idea of wanting to be accepted. However, really, at the end of the day, to me, lying about your own image isn't going to change it. In fact, it's just going to make people even more turned off by you just for simply lying. And really, at the end of the day, nobody should lie about their body type or anything like that.
Mm. It's called catfishing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Loads of us have fallen victim of a catfish once or twice in our lives. Yep, go on ahead if you can make a comment.
To talk about what he's saying, I actually disagree with him. So how should I put this? Like, yeah, like, you can lie about what you do, but like, since I'm a moderator, I'm usually into things like YouTube and Twitch, etc. So I see, like, these scandals where there's, like, someone who has been, like posting videos for little kids who in reality has been with a giant scandal with the cosplayer. Like, just things like that. Like, yeah, you can lie about these little things, but these little things are going to build up and build up and build up. And then it's going to turn into this thing where, like, there's, like, this, like, nowadays, people, like, hate, like, all this hate on social media. You're kind of asking for it if you're lying.
So it's all about being true to yourself then, if you possibly can. We're actually going to get on to talking about controlling your identity in a bit after we hear from our next artist. I want to go back, though, and just ask you a quick question. Once you've established your identity as a person, first of all, put your hand up if you are proud of your identity. Everybody's got their hands up. Your hand's kind of up. Why is it only kind of up? Let's find out why.
It's because sometimes I have like this, like, because of my anxiety and my depression and my mental health, I always feel like there's something holding me back. And even though I'm very open about talking about it, I always feel like I'm going to be judged, or I shouldn't say it as often because sometimes people can't handle it. So I always feel like really unsure about my own identity because, like, of like this mental health factor, I guess.
Would you, is the mental health part of your identity something that you've made friends with, or is it something that you resent?
Kind of both, I think. It's like I'm more proud of it now because I'm coming into my own. I'm like expanding out of my bubble that I've been in my whole life. But like half the time, sometimes I resent it because like it still holds me back from doing things, or I think, why am I not normal, even though like I am really, but like that part of my, like, that's what's kind of holding me back about my identity, I believe.
Anybody else here, you don't have to put your hand up, but can anybody else here identify with that, with the mental health part of your identity, that your mental health is a big part of your identity, whether it's for a short period or a long period?
My name's Sean. When I was 18, I was diagnosed with body dysmorphia. It's basically when you kind of see yourself differently and you kind of focus on imperfections in your image, and it can really affect your self-confidence. And I've been involved with mental health services for about 7 years now. And it developed, and eventually I was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. That developed from body dysmorphia. And basically, I did cognitive behavioural therapy. That helped me a lot.
And these mental health services that you benefited from, were they in Manchester?
It was Stepping Hill Hospital.
In where, sorry?
Stepping Hill.
Stepping Hill. And do you think that that's put a massive positive difference in your life, or was it tricky at times?
Maybe a positive difference.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And was it easy for you to reach out and access those services?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And what sort of treatment, aside from the CBT and the diagnosis that you were given, were you able to then integrate back into society easily?
Yeah, easily, yeah.
Yeah.
Got lots of help. I recently moved out last year into supported living in some place called Redcroft, and that's the home at the moment, but I'm moving into a new flat at the moment.
And are you proud of your background and what makes you you?
Yeah.
Tell us why.
I think it helps make me what I am. And I think all my experiences that I've gone throughout my life helps make me who I am.
Yeah, I think that deserves a round of applause, actually. And what's the future like for you then? Do you want to take your experiences and sort of relay those to young people, or are you still working on yourself? Tell us a bit about that.
Maybe try and help other people with it. So that's when new people, and if everyone else with their mental health problems, I'll try and help them.
Yeah, it's something that a lot of us, whether we're directly or indirectly, a lot of us are struggling with mental health on a day-to-day basis. Finding that diagnosis is something that's really important, isn't it? Because it means that you can get the diagnosis and work on it. But actually, in terms of identity, it's something that makes you you. You know, you can actually say, you know what, yes, actually, I've been diagnosed with this, but that is only a small part of me, because I'm sure there are many other things about you that are far greater and far more interesting than your diagnosis, right?
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Yeah. So you're just a small part of you then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, before we get on to juggling identity and what it's like maybe to be trying to manage two identities at once, I want to hear from a chap now. He's the last of our artists today. Haven't our artists been really good today? I mean, they've been really good. We've had spoken word, we've had live music, and now we're going to have a little bit of rap. Chilled, laid back rap. Mm-hmm. That's not something you normally hear at Gadio. What have you got in store for us?
Well, my name is Superlative. This is just a little song I wrote, like you say, kind of about being in two sort of identities, I suppose, being facing two different sides of life while kind of showing one image to everybody else, if that makes sense.
Something super relevant here today at Open Forum. If you like what you hear and you want to check out this amazing guy on Instagram, you can at @official_superlative.
That's the one.
Take it away.
Thank you. This is Bright Lights, Dark Lights. I was going to write a chorus here, but I actually just don't have one. So I'll just talk to you for now. Yo, look. When the lights are bright and the stage is set, everybody is watching. That's when I think about the team that I got long distance, but I still know that I got them. It's all love when we link on the ends. Flip back to the days when we linked on the regs. Nowadays it's a couple Skype calls and a couple WhatsApps to see that they're blessed. I'm vexing, cause lately I got the writer's block. Where does it stop? Lately I got the life that I wanted. Lately they want the life that I got. Lately it seems like God took the stress on me, blessing me with this freedom that I got. Now I'm in my own yard, gotta put my head down if I wanna put them peas in a pot. Listen, I just spit my words, I don't think about grime, I don't think about road, I don't think about you man, I don't think about those, I don't think about days when we were down and nobody hollered. Shouts to the man that actually bothered, cause now that I'm back when you need me you're covered and it's all love. I'm holding it down in the mental, central system's calm but eventful. Now that we got our own yard with a little back garden, I'm taking it back like a rental. Everybody wanted to doubt me, nothing about you is better than I'll be, and nothing about me is ever what you'll be, cause everything I see is bigger than your dreams, it's too deep. But when the lights are gone, it's just me or myself, where did I go wrong? Now I know that I have this freedom, I'm free from the world, but my thoughts still creeping along. Gotta switch this mindset, gotta switch this song, gotta switch this record, cause lately this one is played too long. But how am I gonna get over the hurt if I don't quit the herb? But only the herb is a boost to my work. No one's at home when I need them the most, so I smoke to stop me from feeling the worst. Overimpose my negative thoughts on those who chose to believe me first. But no one knows these dreams, these scenes, it seems that green is making me worse, son. I'm articulate, I don't need to tell lies, I don't need to walk road, I don't need to see you man, I don't need to see those. I just need to sit down and think how life could actually happen if I just treat this game like a pattern and my fears fall through when I'm back with a passion and I'm all good. Ha, but you're not that, looking like a Rick Rolling, had a good laugh. Never gonna big you up when they ask me when you're gonna give this up. Who's been giving this kid love?
Why?
Where can I submit my feedback? Poor performance I did not love. No. Lights go off, we don't need that bruv. Hey, thank you. Thank you.
If you've just tuned in, you are still listening to Gadio. I'm Dean McCulloch, and that was Superlative. Wasn't that awesome, guys? Let's give it up one more time. We don't normally get the pleasure of having rap on Gadio. I feel so thrilled that we're able to bring it to that vibe. How was that?
Do you know what? Kind of nerve-wracking, to really? Be fair. Small audience, it was pretty mad, yeah.
Small audience, you might get some fabulous LGBT people following you on Instagram after that, @official_superlative.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Where'd you get that name from?
I'm not going to lie, I was in an English lesson in year 9. My name was previously 10DB, which is my brother's initials. So going off identity, I used to get called my brother all the time.
Okay.
So I kind of had to get away from that.
Right.
My teacher taught us what a superlative was, and I thought that sounds about right. That sounds like me over there.
I'll take that.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I rolled with that.
Can you have two identities at the same time? Because it sounds like you did at one point.
I suppose I used to. Yeah, I think you can sort of have an identity to adapt to each person, and then I think you can kind of have. In answer to your question, I think you can have two personalities, definitely.
Do you have two identities right now as an artist?
I definitely have my more boisterous side when I'm out and I'm speaking to people, and I have my very enclosed, in my house kind of personality. So yeah, I think I do have two kind of identities, yeah.
I think as an artist, I think, you know, through my job, I get to meet loads of different celebrities and really famous people, which is so cool. But when I meet them and they're this big, outlandish, fabulous person on the telly, then I get them in the studio and I look at them and I'm like, they're actually quite boring. they're quite boring. And they're just normal folk. You know, I suppose keeping up that big persona all the time is quite tricky, right?
Yeah, well, I suppose that's why I tried to aim to not be such a big persona. But like you say, people, if they saw me online, they'd probably think I was a lot more enthusiastic as opposed to if you see me in person. I'm really, really chilled. So yeah, maybe I am boring to some people in that sense. They might think that.
Do you ever forget what identity you're trying to put out and you sort of think, oh gosh, I'm supposed to be really out there today, but I've actually been quite boring? You're juggling two identities. How do you work it out?
I think it's quite natural. Like, your identity is going to change depending on the things that are coming in your day-to-day like activities. But I think the energy that you give off is kind of what resonates with the people that you speak to on that day. So regardless of if I'm being an artist, if I'm in a negative mood, it's going to resonate. If I'm being myself, Corey, and I'm in a positive mood, they're going to think Corey's just as positive as superlative. Yeah. So. Yeah.
It's all about the juggling act, isn't it? Folks in the room then, do you think it's right, show of hands, who wants to let me know what they think? Is it right to change our behaviour and our identity to suit others?
My name's Luna. And yeah, I do. I wouldn't act the same with everybody else like I would with my family or other people who are Somali. So because there's a cultural difference, some jokes or some ideas or some type of banter wouldn't be the same with people in uni or people that I meet at Reform as it would with people from my community. So I kind of tailor my jokes or the way I speak depending on what situation I'm in.
Does anybody here firmly believe that they are the same person with their family, at work, with their friends? Let me know and tell me why.
I don't think I'm the same at all, because I think when I'm with my family, that kind of little more Mancunian kind of comes out of me, and I'm like, hey, up my kid, and then going up to the pubs and everything, getting that proper like northern accent back. And then with friends, like, I have to like lay back on the Mancunian a bit, because even though they're from Manchester themselves, the slang that I use, they find it hilarious. So I kind of like give a different side to when to like who I am when I'm with my family, for example. Yeah.
If my mum rang me right now, right, and I came back to speaking to you after I had a conversation with her, you'd be like, what are you saying? You wouldn't be able to understand it, because I go into that proper Belfast kind of chat. But it happens so naturally, doesn't it? It's not like you're switching from one identity to the next. It's just how you communicate with that person. Anyone else, can you tell me about a time where you changed your identity to suit other people?
I don't think I change. I say I am who I am. But obviously when you're out with people that you don't know who are strangers, you know, you're going to get a first impression that counts. Like when I'm in my family, I'm crazier more than when I'm just with general people like yourself, because, you know, obviously I want to give a better impression. So you do automatically change to impress someone else.
So Esther mentioned there, give a better impression of yourself. Let's just think about what that actually means for a second. I'm sure some of our listeners are in there listening, maybe now in the car, or, you know, maybe they're listening at home. They can remember a time where they tried to give a better impression to make themselves look or feel better. That cannot be easy from a mental health point of view. You know, you are not living in your true, authentic self, because you just wouldn't care, would you? You just get on about your business. Can anybody answer me the question, how can not being true to ourselves make us feel?
It affects it, me personally. I think it slowly eats away at you. You know that you're not being yourself, and certain things, the way that you react to things, aren't genuine. And I feel like with anything that's not genuine, it's not right, and you just feel the wrong sort of energy towards it. And it just makes me feel like I'm just going to repeat myself. It eats you up inside, and it's just not a positive feeling from my experience.
Is it safe to say that perhaps if you're trying to sort of put on this best face, you know, that best foot forward to try and, you know, give off that better impression, after a while that can have a detriment to yourself? That can actually turn its head back on you again, and the person that you're trying to be might be the person that tries to sort of destroy you. What do you think about that?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like changing your identity to like suit like a better impression of yourself is really difficult, because I remember my dad, I'm not trying to like insult my dad, but he's quite like academic, and he always wanted me to go into the route of like say uni and then like get a degree and get like be like a doctor or like some like business person, but that wasn't really my like calling, and it was like really difficult to like push away from that, like because I remember like telling him about taking drama classes and he would just be like really confused about it because that's not his like sort of area, so he would just be like, he wouldn't like insult it, but he wouldn't try to like understand that that's where I was gonna go, like the creative industries, and that just had like an impact on you. But if you just like follow like what you want to do and what who you want to be, like instead of trying to like listen to other people, I just feel like that's the best way.
Have you done that yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Like I tried to like just talk to him saying, no, this is the way I want to go, and he was like fine with it, but it was just like it was a difficult time to like just talk to him about it.
Anybody else find themselves in that situation?
I think with that sense of going on about your parents, for example, is when, okay, and my mum's like the most northernest person you can hear. And she, as we were growing up, she kind of talked a bit more like this to set us out from like people on the council estate. But like, and I lost that as I went to my high school because it's so diverse. But like, she gets mad when I start speaking the way I speak in my true like northern accent, and she's like, you're not gonna get a job with how you speak like that, you're not gonna do this. And I think, but that's me, I'm born here, I can't help it, I just want to speak, I don't want to have to put on a posher accent to get a job because that's not me.
Are we seeing, I know earlier on we spoke about the news and we spoke about what we see on TV, and just sort of to wrap this up a little bit, is it safe to say that the representation of the people in this room now, you and I sat round here in this circle, do you think that we are represented in the news, in the public, on television? Do you feel that way? There's lots of thoughtful faces in front of me here. People are really digesting that piece of information and having maybe a look at that for the first time. Jack?
Yeah, mostly my perspective, the news just tends to portray like anything that's going on in a negative light, which is never the case, because I have met so many great people over the years, whether it's abroad or just in my home country in general, like all people from different walks of life. And personally, it's just unfair to see people being painted with the same brush all because of one incident.
We could talk about identity all day. I think it's that one topic that just affects every single person listening today. And I'm sure maybe at home there today, you've listened to this and you've thought, gosh, that's really affected me. There's a part of my identity that I've yet to discover, or there's a part of my identity that I am in crisis with. There are people out there to help. We're going to hear from Dan now. He's a senior psychological therapist. He's going to give you some more information and ways that you can get involved if you need help today.
So if you were affected by any of the issues associated with identity discussed in today's show, there is help available. And it is always worth looking around into your local community to see what specific services tailored to particular identities are available for you. For example, if somebody's struggling with an LGBT identity issue, then the LGBT Foundation has an excellent reputation and is able to offer free counselling, advice and support to the LGBT community. So it will be very tailored and sensitive to the needs of that particular group. Depending on what your identity issue is, go online, have a look, see what's about. Ask others to help if you need to. There is help available, and talking to someone always helps, particularly if there are negative consequences of identifying in a certain way, be it exclusion, prejudice, or even feelings of shame. So do get the help.
A big, big thank you to Dan there for sharing his advice. Of course, there is always help out there. If some of the topics that we have discussed today have got you thinking, the help is out there. All you've got to do is reach for it. A big thank you to our studio audience today here at Reform Radio. A big, big thank you to our funders, of course, as well, from the Audio Content Fund for making this happen. Thank you for sharing your opinions at Gaydio. Have a lovely day. See you soon.